You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. And welcome back. We continue the second half of the show. Mike Griffith will join us shortly. A lot of reaction continues on what Stuart Mandel said today, a few minutes ago, saying Florida would go 3-9, Alabama would lose. Would go 9-3. Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
That's the epitome of a complete fool. That guy, and I've never appreciated him as any kind of analyst. I hate him as he's one of your typical non-compelling guests. Can't stand the guy. But anyway, he can't. Well, I better watch what I say. You need Danny Sheridan back. Where's Danny?
That's a good question. So you're talking about Logan? Is that right?
Well, let me get to Logan, but I was talking about Stuart Mandel.
Oh, I'm sorry. So let's talk about Mandel for a second. I did not understand his rationale. That's fine. He's a big time.
No rationale to it, Paul. He's a fool. He's a complete fool. Nothing about it. I don't understand the guy. I don't understand why you have those people on. I really don't. I really don't understand why you let a guy like that even come on the air. He's a totally idiot.
Well, Jim, first of all, the guy is the editor of The Athletic. That's a respected...
That doesn't impress me, Paul. That doesn't impress me whatsoever. I mean, I don't think it impresses anybody.
Well, I mean, The Athletic, really after don't. All, is it just got bought by the New York Times.
Well, you know what? I hope I break some things today. You said I come in here to break things. I hope I break a bunch of things in your China shop. I'm going to tell you about Logan. Yeah, that guy is a heathen. You know what a heathen is, Paul? He's a complete... heathen, a fool. I guarantee you I've seen his picture on some wall somewhere. Wanted, you know, do they do that in the post office anymore? If they don't, they ought to put his on there. He is the most heathenistic looking guy I've ever seen in my life. And he's coming in here and he's talking about the great Donald Trump is going to have to go spend a few minutes to check in. He'll never be booked in that jail. He'll never serve a day. I talked to 5 lawyers I know. They said he's got no chance. They'll never get him in jail, but they want to. But I'll tell you who they ought to get in is Logan the fool, Logan the idiot.
Should we alert the Atlanta DA to go ahead and arrest Logan?
That'd be fine. I'd love that. He deserves. He's the one that, far more than Trump, he deserves to be arrested for being a complete heathen. And do you know what the word heathen means?
Well, I think I do, Jim, but I want you to make it seem
like... give me your take on it.
Well, I mean, I think when you're called a heathen, that means that you are infiltrated by
godless
the devil.
Number one. Go ahead. Godless number one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't put words in your mouth.
Well, no, I just connected it to being, satanic.
That's exactly what it is. Serving the devil. That's what that guy Logan serves. I mean, for him to this is what somebody told me on his show a while ago, and he's a great guy, as you well know, but I'm not going to mention his name, but he gave me this a while ago. He said, isn't that something? Donald Trump's going to be having to be appearing at the jail over there, and somebody like Logan is walking the streets free. That's the epitome of hell. That's the epitome of an evil situation, of a stupid-ass world. That's what we're in now. But Trump was masterful last night, Paul. Masterful. I know what I'm talking about. You're talking about compelling. He's got poise more than he's ever had. He's got composure, and he's got knowledge of business, and he knows he's got every answer.
I don't mean to be stupid. I mean, I know he did some TikTok thing with Tucker Carlson. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Well, it wasn't TikTok. No, it was. It was over 100 million people watched that.
Oh, okay.
And it was on Twitter.
That's great.
That's incredible, Paul. That's incredible. Hello?
Well, did he say anything revealing? I didn't really
Everything
hear
he said, Paul, was for 46 minutes was just absolutely masterful. He's brilliant. It was brilliant. I don't care if you respect me whatsoever you used to. I'm telling you, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I never dreamed he could be that. He's far better now. And he ought to do stuff like that instead of doing those rallies, because when he's questioned by somebody like Tucker Ferguson, I mean, Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Fredrickson.
How did I mention that guy? My daddy used to like him.
Yeah, he was a great player at Auburn.
He played for Auburn. I never saw him play, but I heard he played for Auburn. But anyway, back to Trump. He was brilliant, Paul. Take my word. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Jim, I did not see it. I did not see it at all. I saw a clip or two of it today, but.
Well, you can see it. It's on there. All you got to do is go.
Well, I mean, Jim, I still haven't watched Swamp Kings. How am I going to go watch Tucker Carlson?
That's about right for you. That's how far you've sunk, too. But you know what, Paul? This is why I'm not calling the show anymore, because of fools and heathens like you got well, two
Jim,
out of three.
I'm not watching Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson really wasn't high on my to-do list yesterday.
Okay, that's your.
I think Tucker Carlson.
All my good call as usual.
Do you respect Tucker Carlson?
I do. You not?
I have no real opinion of him.
Why is that, Paul?
Because I just think he's just way out there on the fringe of the world.
And that's what you think of me?
No, I just told you what I thought of Tucker Carlson. I didn't give an opinion of you at all.
Well, I know what you mean to an extent. I've seen some of that, but he's a good interviewer and he likes Trump, and I like him for that. I got it in mind for that.
Well, okay,
but
well,
Jim, I will
based on your recommendation, I will go back tonight and watch it. How about that?
I really appreciate that. I want you to honestly assess it tomorrow. I'll listen. I do listen, but I'm not calling this show anymore because of heathens like you got too many of them, but especially fools. I'm talking about total fools like Logan, the criminal-looking guy. He looks so much like a criminal. He's got to be a criminal, Paul.
Jim, we will talk again soon. Thank you. JK is up next.
Was that Christian Jim or Pope Jim?
That was just Jim.
I get confused, and if you go back and listen to Trump's interview last night, it'll be just like every rally and every other interview he did. But the only place you won't catch him is under oath, telling the same lies. So when he gets under oath, I'll tune in. But Paul, that guy you had on predicting Alabama 9-3 and Florida 3-9, I mean, that's just his opinion, just like mine, just like yours. But he's closer at the Bama prediction than he is to Florida. 9-3, 10-2, I predict that too. By 9-3, 10-2, it'll be good. As long as they ain't in the playoffs, and they're going to miss the playoffs again this year. And just like I told you guys the other day, Nick didn't get that house next to Tiger Woods by coincidence. Nick got one more year, and he's gone. I think he looked at that schedule from 2024 and made his mind up real quick. It's about time that Alabama played a competitive football schedule. Don't go to sleep on me, Paul.
No, I'm not. I'm still recovering and processing the Jim call, but I hear you.
All right, take you some medicine and get you some rest, and you'll figure Jim's call out one of these days. But one thing we didn't hear, one thing we didn't hear from him as usual, he didn't say a word about sports.
No.
Have a good one, Paul.
A lot of politics, no sports. Jason is in Huntsville. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Good, good. First of all, Jim needs to settle down, and you need to settle him down because he's going to have a heart attack. You're not careful on the show, and I don't want you to be responsible for that. The Mandel thing, I think he needs to put down the pot pipe. You know, I don't know, maybe move to California or whatever, and I understand you want to, you know, generate some sensationalism so you can get some hits when you're becoming irrelevant and that type of thing. But your last caller, I think he's on to something. I want to get your opinion on that. You buy a $17.5 million home. That's not a summer house. So I'm thinking that this year is it.
Well, Jason, on top, I agree with you, but the thing you have to remember, this isn't just like normal folks, you know, like me or you, where you buy, you know, you have a home that you live in with your family, and then you go out and buy a lake home, a beach home, a mountain home, whatever. I mean, Saban already has two other vacation homes. He's got one at the lake. And he's got one on the Gulf of Mexico. So, I mean, he's in pretty good shape for home. This is a different situation, though, when you buy one that listed for $21 million.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, you got to look at it. I mean, 72. I mean, how much money can you make?
Well, I agree. If you can afford a $17.5 million home, that's not like, you know, you know, remember, I bought my first house. I paid for it over a million years, like you probably did your first house. Yeah, you're not buying that on a 30-year mortgage,
right?
I mean, you're putting when you're dealing with Palm Beach, Jupiter real estate. They say the price is $17.5 million. When can we see the check?
Exactly, it goes up by the day.
Yeah, you don't go down to the local bank and work out a monthly payment.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's going to be good. It's going to be good this year. This will be one of the most interesting years. Absolutely. And I can't wait to hear how it bows out. There'll be a lot of, I guess you might say, reverse predictions and hiding in the rug.
And by the way, my interpretation of what a heathen is was off. Jim had it closer in his first definition. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Week and change before the first game, and bad news this week from Dogland with Branson Robinson, the great running back, projected to have a big impact, being ruled out for the season. Griff joins us from Dog Nation. Griff, give us the latest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hit. Obviously, the Georgia backfield would have liked to have Branson Robinson in there. You know, he was coming back really nice from a foot injury in the spring. But, you know, look, it's going to be a 15-game season. Kirby Smart, known as the master of roster management, and now he's going to have to handle that load with one less scholarship back. I don't think that Branson was necessarily a starter or the number one or number two volume guy, but, you know, the SEC is physical, Paul. And when you think about Georgia's championship seasons the last 2 years, and we wouldn't say that you know, we wouldn't say that 2021 Georgia or 2022 Georgia, we're not saying they're one of the greatest programs of all time. We're not saying 2019 LSU or 04 USC, or excuse me, greatest teams. But this has been the greatest program in the modern era to win back-to-back. And so now the program gets tested with their depth and Kirby Smart's ability to have this team evolve as the season progresses this year.
Griff, we now know what everyone has always assumed, that Carson Beck would be the quarterback. Was that ever in doubt?
I don't think so. I think Carson was always going to start the opener. You know, I think he's waited his time. I think that, you know, Greg McElroy's put some statistic out there that he's the only one left ranked, you know, top 50 that never started a game. And that's kudos to Carson Beck for sticking around. But let's be honest, there's riches waiting for him. You know, Carson Beck already anointed as a Heisman Trophy contender. Listen, and I've said it before, Bozo the Clown will be a Heisman Trophy finalist at Georgia if they go undefeated, and the guy's got better than a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. Now, Carson Beck, to be clear, is not Bozo the Clown. He has an NFL arm. He's got good mobility. Not great. He's not a runner like Stetson, different kind of quarterback. Prolific size. This is a guy that's going to be drafted into the NFL. Not sure where at this stage, but this is a talented guy. Say this, though. I don't think that Kirby Smart has said enough for me to believe that it's necessarily Carson all year long. In fact, he said that Brock Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton are going to continue to get some first-team reps. I think you're going to see multiple quarterbacks play early as Kirby looks to build the depth and see how the team plays around the quarterback. He has said before that that is one of the greatest measurements, is how a kid plays in a game, and we really haven't seen Vandegrift or Stockton under the lights in a game with full contact yet.
Mike, we all know what the schedule is. So what are you going to be watching for week to week and trying to really determine and differentiate where this Georgia team is versus other Georgia teams in recent years, and trying to project out to when maybe at some point before the end of the season they'll be tested?
Well, you just said it, Paul. And it almost works against them that they're not playing at Oklahoma. That's a bad thing, I believe, for Georgia football. One, Kirby can say what he wants, and listen, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's been here before. 2013, Bama was going for the three-peat before the kick six. You know, so he's been on the brink of it. So he understands how to prepare these kids, but there's human nature. And I've heard him over the loudspeakers at practice saying, if we're not going to do it right, why are we even out here? You know, he's tried to push these guys. He said to the media, this team is not where the last two teams were at this stage of the preseason. Now, if you're a Georgia fan, and there's a lot of them out there watching now that love the SEC Network and really appreciate the work you do, Paul. But this kind of talk goes in one ear and out the other, because they say, hey, look, we heard this last year. We heard it the year before. Kirby's proven, you know, he can fill the glass half full up again. Doesn't matter who they lost. This is just what happens, right? But it's just not that simple. Guys have to step into some shoes, and not having an Oklahoma to test you, you don't know what you don't know until it happens, until you're on the plains of Auburn, or until that Kentucky team that I'm starting to hear so much about rolls in on October 7th. You know, I don't expect UT Martin to do much more than show up. I mean, Ball State, I think, you know, great. South Carolina, they got beat by more than 40 points at home by Georgia last season. I don't expect him to stay within 40 this season. You know, Trent Dilfer, we can talk about his Super Bowl that week. You know, and then Auburn, you got to test with Hugh Freeze. I think Hugh Freeze, mover and shaker, you know, they were able to pay enough money to get that Michigan State quarterback. That was a great free agency land for Hugh Freeze and Auburn to get that Michigan State quarterback down there on the plains. That's going to make them a lot tougher than people think. And then there's Kentucky. You know, and Mark Stoops will tell you they're a football school. He'll tell you they're a football school. And maybe this year they are. Maybe this year they're back to being a football school. Right. And then you get your breathers. You know, you add Vanderbilt, Florida, you know, we'll see what Missouri's got, and then the stretch run. Right. But getting back to my point, when they've traveled to play Auburn, that's going to be the first road start for one of these quarterbacks. And what I'm going to be looking to see is, how does Carson Beck handle adversity? Right. Can there be any adversity created in those first few games of the season? I don't know. What does Brock Vandegrift do when he's under live action? What about Gunnar Stockton? I want to see how the team responds to different quarterbacks. I want to see the personnel sets. I think you're going to see a lot of three wide. They went out and bought Dominic Lovett from Missouri. They've got a really nice slot receiver now. They got a walk-on that's really starting to emerge named Makai Muse. You're going to see and hear a lot more of this guy out of the slot in the return game. Ladd McConkey, I've said it before, he's McCaffrey-like in the open field. Do they have an X? So these are the things I want to see is how does this Georgia offense evolve, and how are they going to look when the stretch run comes and they get tested by Auburn and Kentucky, and then once again in November by the Tennessee Vols. Maybe Georgia Tech is a tough game the week before the SEC title game. So there's a lot of tests waiting ahead, a lot of unknowns as to where this Georgia program is at.
Griff, let's bounce around a little bit. We just had Mandel on predicting Florida to go 3-9. Your reaction to that and your thoughts on the Gators?
Well, he must have watched the program last week when we went over the schedule, and I told you there was a chance they could lose the last six games, and that if that were the case, Billy Napier wouldn't make it to the Florida State game. I mean, I think everybody's now just kind of finally looked at that schedule. I'm guessing Mandel probably also said something about the Northern California team. Can I just solve the mystery here? Because this is – I'm just – oh, well, what do you know? SMU, Stanford, folks, this is all you got to do. Look up the biggest television markets in the country, okay? Dallas is number 5, and San Francisco, Oakland is number 10. If you want to know why the ACC and ESPN are interested in these programs, it's because they bring a lot of television sets, i.e. a lot of potential interest. It just makes sense. It's as simple as the dollars, the cents, the television markets, and the viewers. That's all it is. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter whose mascot you like. This is a business decision. This is where we're at with college football. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to happen. I think it makes sense. I think it's a win for ESPN. I think it's a win for those Northern California schools and SMU as well.
He also – thank you. He also said he had Alabama going – 9-3, beating Texas, but losing three conference games.
I'm not ready to go that far yet. I'm not ready to throw this. And we've talked about Nick Saban. And isn't it great that Nick is still around at this age in the league? And you like to have a guy like that around. I mean, he's such a gifted public speaker. And I love listening to the speeches and the rah-rah. You know, I woke up the other morning, Paul. Seriously, this is a true story. I woke up at about 5:30, one of those mornings. You know why I can't wait. And I'm watching, going through like the Instagram, and here's a Nick Saban motivational speech, right? So you know what? I got to get out of bed. I got to make myself better today. You know, I think there's a real future for Nick Saban in public speaking. Can you imagine how much he can motivate corporations? So I'm not done with Nick Saban. I think he can motivate this team. I like the defensive coaching hire. I think the jury's out on the offense. I think the jury's out on the quarterback. Three losses is a bit much for me. I could maybe see two tops. But I can't see three. I can't swallow that. Maybe they go to the SEC title game and they lose to Kirby. You know, can they lose to LSU at home? Potentially. Don't think they lose to Tennessee. I don't think more than two losses, Paul. And I'm not counting Alabama out. They're one of the teams I look at as a potential playoff team. They're right there with LSU, Texas A&M, any one of those three teams, any one of those three. ACC, Florida State, Clemson. Hey, listen, Dan Lanning at Oregon, I don't know why they're underestimating this guy and Bo Nix. Everybody forgot about him. And then the USC guy, whether he wants to be in the video game or not, you know, if Trojans score enough points and get the right referees on the field, you know, they might be able to find their way into the playoff and with that high-powered offense and that Heisman Trophy quarterback, and we can all read what he paints on his fingernails.
I respect what you said about Coach Saban, but I don't want to sound like a Feinbaum caller here, but I'm going to.
Sure.
You just, like, automatically said Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game, and Mike, you remember, of course, 2 years ago when they met.
Yeah, I do, and I'm not saying that that's a definite thing, Paul. I'm not saying that – I just said maybe they lose in the SEC championship game to Georgia. I don't know where Georgia's going to be.
The second you said
that,
your screen went out.
Yeah, you think Georgia might be editing this video? You think Kirby? Kirby's got a lot of power, man. You know, they say Kirby's everywhere. I don't know who's trying to blow up my phone in the middle of the segment. Appreciate that, though. Thanks a lot. Kirby's got a lot of power, but I don't think he's got that much power. Look, I think people need to understand this Georgia team is not a finished product. They just lost a generational powerhouse, number 88, who's going to take over the NFL. You're already hearing about Jalen Carter. Stetson Bennett is already – L.A. is already in love with this guy. I mean, get ready for the movie. I mean, as much as they're playing him on the field, you know, they can't keep the guy off the field in the preseason. They lost some really big-name players, Paul. And I'm just not ready to just, ordain these other guys, say, oh, this guy will be as good and this guy will be as good. George is going to have to grow and evolve, and they're going to have to stay healthy. You know, we need to see if Kendall Milton's going to be there in November. He is a key player. big-time player. He's been slowed by a hamstring. They're going to manage him as the season progresses. They've got to have a healthy Kendall Milton to be the best Georgia that they can be. They got to have a healthy Ladd McConkey to be the best Georgia that they can be. They got to have a healthy Mykel Williams coming off the edge. They don't have the sort of depth that they've had in these last two championship runs quite yet. That depth has to be developed this season.
Mike Griffith is spot here on Thursday afternoon next week, game week.
Finally. Good stuff. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thanks for dropping by and offering your opinion on the ACC, even if it wasn't asked. We will take a break. We're back with much more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. A lot of we haven't had a chance for phone calls, and there will be a lot of reaction when we start doing that right now. Let's start with Taco in Alabama. Hello, Taco.
Yes, sir, Paul. I got a serious question for you. What are people going to do on your show when Nick Saban finally retires? What are you going to talk about 5 days a week?
I know for me, I am going to sit down and cry because he is the single number one topic always.
Do you think he will be talked about for years after he's gone that every non-Bama fan and Bama fan or the next 30 years are going to be comparing him, the next coach, to Nick Saban, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the good news for me and many of you are we've already seen this before, and it took Alabama forever to finally move on from Coach Bryant. It took Nick Saban for that really to happen. And It will take a very long time because whatever Kirby Smart is doing right now, he is not Nick Saban.
I agree. But when Saban does retire, I think Kirby will have the crown of the most hated coach alive for a while.
Well, I think you're right about that.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. But Nick Saban's not going anywhere, is he? Ben is up next in Ocala. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
That's good. So I just ran upon the Stuart Mandel prediction for the Gators. I think it was yesterday. You talked about it in the early part of your show.
Right.
And I went and looked it up. And something I noticed that he said, that there was a little snippet on one of the Florida Gator websites that was talking about it, and one of those snippets, I believe he said that the team this year has the makings of a last-place team. I admit Graham Mertz is not what most of the Florida fans wanted when the news came out. He doesn't have the best stat line, but I believe that your past does not define your future. And so basically what I want to ask you was, what are your expectations for the Gators? Because it seems like maybe he kind of looked on the surface, didn't really go deep into what's been coming out of fall camp recently. So I've been wondering what your view on that is.
Well, Ben, I think like a lot of programs that have big first games, which with this year there are not many, but there are a handful, The first game is really important. Last year, it set a false narrative. This year, I think you could put him in if he can't win that first game. And the only reason I even talk about that being a possible win is the Utah quarterback, Cam Rising, is up in the air for the game. Right now, he's doubtful. That could change a week from tonight. But if Florida starts off poorly, there's a confidence factor. And when you factor in the schedule of Tennessee in a couple of weeks and Kentucky and all these games starting to build, it could really create a very negative atmosphere. And no matter where you go on that schedule, there are potential losses.
Yes, sir. There definitely are. And I think, but I do think one thing I think people realize, don't realize is that Florida, it was in the swamp, which does factor in.
Of course it does.
Definitely. But we beat them with Cam Rising, I think, with Brent Keithy, I believe his name is. I could be wrong there on the first.
No,
game.
But Ben, I don't think we learned a lot from that game. All it did was, I remember talking to Tebow was down there the next week for the what was the game the next week? Kentucky, I think.
Kentucky. Yes.
And everybody felt like the program was back, and it really wasn't. And I don't know. I think 3-9 is an absurd prediction, but then again, everybody is entitled to their prediction. I mean, I think a winning record is doable and maybe even likely, but so much depends on Utah, Tennessee. Those are, I think Tennessee there's a shot there. That is a fierce rivalry. Florida played well last year. Tennessee was still finding itself a little bit. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Rocco is up next. Good afternoon. Rocco?
Hello. Hi.
Are you at Disney World right now?
Yes.
Okay. I just saw that on the screen. Rocco, you there?
Yeah, I'm at the Riviera Resort.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
So, can you mention some good stuff about the Razorbacks?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Razorbacks this year. I think they're heading toward a pretty good year. And once again, I don't ever like their schedule. They always seem to have the toughest schedule in the country every year. But at LSU is a really big opportunity early on. I think they'll win the first three games. Texas A&M is critical at Ole Miss and could be a big hill to climb at Alabama. But then the fun may start. Mississippi State at Florida, Auburn, Florida International, and Missouri. I think Arkansas has a chance to win the last five games. Hey, thank you, Rocco. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with AC, who is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, man? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It was a nice call, man, for Mr. Rocco. I like that. I like me some rock. Did you study science by any chance, Mr. Feinbaum?
I took a couple of years, yes.
Loved it. Study rocks and all that. Man, I couldn't get them. I just had to get by. But I have a question for you. No one asked you this type of question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Why do you take my call?
Well, because I like to. How about that?
Come on, you can't just say I like to. Just give me, like, a descriptive.
Well, because AC, you bro, punching calls is a little bit like conducting a symphony. At various moments, you have to bring the horns up or the cello or the percussions or something else. And I look down and I see your name and I know, okay, it will be like up, a higher note. So it's all by instinct.
It's a great question I asked. I guess I just put you in a tough spot, but I didn't mean to put you in a tough spot.
It's okay.
I know your wife puts you in a tough spot every day, man.
Well, you think so, huh?
I believe so. What? Am I wrong or am I right? What is it?
I don't remember my wife putting me in any difficult positions lately.
Careful, because if you hang out with Jim from Tuscaloosa, it's going to happen, buddy. I'm just saying things. But let me say something. How are my cheerleaders doing, man?
They're doing great.
I hear in the background when I call in, they're moaning and groaning. Don't do it. Blame Mr. Feinbaum for making me a monster. It's not my fault. But guess what, Mr. Feinbaum? I appreciate it because you made me your monster.
Yeah, I said earlier, I often go to calls on instinct. And the reason I do that is there's an expectation by going to a certain call, it will uplift the show. I just threw a pick six with that call. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, continuing. Chris Doering joining us a little bit later on. John is in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. And I still like AC, but he is one taco short of a combo meal. There's something that not there.
Yeah, he was fairly disappointing today.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about Fink, NCAA, Mandel, and Griff. But I have to ask you, when Cody called in, who is Mr. John?
I thought it was you because of the way he described the way you looked.
Oh, the gray hair, that's right.
I don't think we have another Mr. Center. John.
Yeah, I know. I'm named after a room in the house. Hey, well, Semper Fi to them, and salute to the wounded warriors down there. By the way, I almost went in the Marine Corps. My twin and I went down, took this goal in the written test, but I flunked the eye test. We wanted to fly. So he went in, and Cody would appreciate this. He went to Quantico, then to Pensacola for flight school, then Meridian, Mississippi, just up the road from Hattiesburg for jet training, then out to El Toro for F-4s, and then, I don't know, Yuma, Cherry Point, I think Miramar, in three carriers, one Iraq war. He had a good career in a lot of stories. But anyways, let's get to sports. I had not heard the word Fink since I was in grade school. It was obviously replaced by the other F word. The only time I've heard Fink in the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years is some name on a law firm. How about you?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, it was often preceded by Rat Fink, like Rat Fink. But
right.
I would say high school was easily the last time I heard that word.
Yeah, and I like what Rick from Houston brought up about the ridiculous suspension for one game for the LSU player. And he compared it to Jim Harbaugh, and I do have an update on Harbaugh. I looked at their 2024 schedule, and guess who their second game's against? Texas. So you can see why him and Tom Mars pushed up the suspension.
Right, that was a very good point.
Obviously, it's not U of M calling the shots. It's Tom Mars and Harbaugh saying, this is how we're going to handle it. So anyways, on Stuart Mandel, the predictions, you know, whatever. But what I liked him saying was, mutual desperation as far as the two Pac-10s, 12, whatever they are now, two Pac-10 schools plus SMU. And it got me wondering if they're going to whore themselves that bad and take a discount to get over to the ACC.
Well, John, the thing I couldn't believe was maybe it was Griff a minute ago that talked about those television markets. Are you serious? Do you think there's anyone in Dallas watching SMU or San Francisco watching Stanford or Cal? I mean, if those two markets in California were so good, why didn't they get a better deal with the Pac-12?
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't the Pac-10, Big Ten want them? There's no market out there. And if they don't,
all you do is dilute an already sinking league.
Yeah. And if the mutual desperation idea does work out, let's be honest, they're going to cut their budget in half. They may be able to build it up a little bit, but once they, the bottom line is Stanford and Cal are done as a Power 5 program after this year. On Griff, he got his little digs in. He got a Florida, he got it in on Alabama and the coach, and he got it in even on Kentucky. Did you notice how he just sticks those in here and there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought his disingenuous comments on Saban were certainly new material, even for Griff.
Yeah, he kind of reached a new low on that one, no doubt about it. And great program today. And by the way, I was going to ask one other question. When the Cody mentioned that the guys get up and go out and take a smoke, would that be when the Tasmanian Devil from Tuscaloosa or the Curmudgeon from Columbus call in?
Without a doubt. John, thank you very, very much. We head to the break. We have another hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.